He'll be right with you. Just a moment, please, sir.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. President.
How are you, my friend?
Are you getting any rest for the people like I was?
No, you never did in your life. I've been wanting to call you for a week, but I never have found time. I just had lunch with your friend Tom McCabe and Marion Folsom and a bunch of people that voted to make you Pope. They are the CED group.
Oh, yeah.
And I tried to... Wait just a second, they're buzzing. Hello.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much said about you're giving something for everybody in this budget, and you didn't cut everybody. You gave everybody more, but you came out with less, and they can't understand it. And so I went over the $1.3 billion that we cut out of defense and told them we'd reduce military assistance $200 million, so they're not going to get more in Korea and Greece and Turkey and some of these places. That reduced the rate of the expansion of the Minuteman. We'd put $17 billion more in than we would have done if we'd gone at the rate last year Eisenhower. So we saved $170 million there. We reduced 69 bases, closed them up as obsolete. And a 15% reduction in employment of foreign nationals, and closed 31 additional ones, which makes 100 overseas. We saved $200 million there. The Senator of Nevada didn't think so, and I closed his. So I showed him how we saved that $1.1 billion, and then I took the Farmers Home Administration, all these old agencies that are trying to get in new programs, and how we cut them out. Saved $1.163 billion agriculture alone. I said, now that's $2.463 billion. We got 71 in the post office because we increased the post office's rates. Interstate Commerce Commission, I called them up myself and asked them to do it. We saved 57 on raw uranium. We saved 74 on special nuclear materials. And we sold $700 million worth of financial assets. Now, that's exactly what we did. So we've got roughly a little over $3 billion there that we cut.
Well, you don't let any of these criticisms worry you.
Well, every damn one of them. I haven't found one Republican spokesman that even gave us credit for reducing it. They all say we didn't.
You've got somebody up here that's doing it all the time, and I can tell you right now, I live Greenwich, and Greenwich goes 5-1 Republican, always has, and I honestly believe that if the election were held now, you'd carry the town. Now, the people that think about these things, these newspaper men, and they're people, they go around and talk to anybody, and they won't print a damn word of anything that is complimentary or praiseworthy, but they'll pick up every word of criticism they possibly pick up.
I had youth employment. I'm going to give them 86 if the Congress passes it. I'm going to retrain these deadbeats that are on relief now. Spend 189 retraining them. I'm going to put 54 in vocational education. I'm going to put $500 million in salary increases. I'm going to put 95 in health program. I'm going to put 76 in housing. I'm going to put 500 in space, 400 for the interest. And that makes $1.8 billion. And I've saved nearly $3 billion, and I'm going to take the other $500 million off the budget. Now, I give some of them more than they had because I'm trying to get these people off the relief rolls and unemployment insurance. Teach them to do something in education. But these businessmen that I met with were good. I told them that the budget might be a flop. If it were, I'd be to blame. It's just a plan. But that the man told me I had to break $100 billion first was Eisenhower. Man told me how to do it was to get Bob Anderson down here, and I told him, and I talked to him and worked hard on it, did the best I could, and everybody else had been adding $5 billion. Kennedy added it last year, and he added it the year before, and he had a pay raise of $1.2 billion, and when I finally busted $100 billion, I surprised even Eisenhower. He laughed, said I might even have to vote for him myself. I said, now If you fellows will go out and provide these jobs, we won't have to have this government expenditure and help me pass my tax bill. And I said, Harry Bird, let it get out of committee. If he wouldn't have, if I didn't get it under $100 billion. And if you'll go out and provide these jobs, we won't take this money, bring it into Washington. But if you don't, I know how to spend it, but I don't want to spend it. And I'm going to bet on the American system. So they had a good meeting.
Well, you've got this support. You've got it. Like I said, you've got it in debt. And I'm seeing people that have never voted a Democratic ticket in their lives. They're getting stronger Republicans. Democrats are that are entrenched in Texas. And for the first time in their lives, they're going to vote for you. Now, this is something that was very scarce even in Eisenhower's time, and he was a national war hero. But you captured the imagination.
He made a hell of a good statement yesterday on the stereo set.
Oh, yeah.
I just want you to let him know that about 2 weeks ago, folks came in here and wanted me to authorize to get some information from Internal Revenue on something about maintaining his farm and some kind of an outfit ruling that they'd made over there.
Yeah.
And said it involved Pete Jones and somebody... Byers or Biley or somebody, and I said, I don't know anything about it, and I don't want to know anything about it. I served under this man 8 years, and all the goddamn gold in Fort Knox wouldn't cause him to inch one minute toward me if he didn't think he's right. And so you just, as far as I'm concerned, get out of here and don't ask me for anything, because I'm not talking to anybody. I don't want to see it. Never heard of it. Wouldn't ask for it under any circumstance. And then a week later, 10 days later, I got there to ask him out of Detroit, and he'd say the same thing.
Well, I talk to him once a week or so often about my life. And you've absolutely won the guy. He wants to remain a Republican.
Well, he ought to, because he may be getting them to stand for something positive, and so if they win an election, we have a good administration.
Well, they're not going to win one, but in any event, he's just as strong as he can be, and nothing disgusts him worse than the serious debt and all that kind of thing. It's just the worst thing in the world. The only thing I've got for is never mentioned again.
Well, I'll tell you what it did, Bob. This kid, after the 57 fight, we'd been up 37 days and nights, and he'd done a good job, and I knew nothing. He had no business dealings till after I left the Senate. But 57, I took he and his wife and his three children and took them to the ranch, bought him an airplane ticket down there and back, and they stayed a week, because he'd been up 37 days and nights. And I've done that with a good many people in my life, invited them to come see me and made it possible, and they've done it with me. He felt a little bit generous about it, and this guy owed him some money on insurance. He'd never paid him, so he made him get him two sets. And he got one for himself and one for me and sent it over. He never told me he had anything to do with the insurance man, but if the insurance man had given it to him, wouldn't given it to me, it wouldn't have been anything wrong with it. We spent $88,000 with him. Why shouldn't he spend $400 with us?
Not a thing in the world. Look, these are just the kinds of things that just gripe the hell out of me.
They're trying to make Walter Jenkins a criminal, and he's the best man that ever lived.
There's not a finer man on earth.
That's right.
He's a finer one. You tell him, not let it worry him, and people encounter him, they know
him. I hope that's
right. The main reason I want to talk to you today, the most sensitive problem you've got, and the only one that I think is going to be great deal exposed to, is the main thing, and you've got it in this moment. Absolute confidence in the foreign central bank to hold all this money.
Yeah.
Now, whatever your own judgment may be, they do not look a great deal of
Oh, I know that. They know. I know that, too.
And they know you.
I told this group that today.
I understand that. But now, there's one thing that I want to suggest, and that is, without any comments at all on Mr. Patton, you don't have to make any at this hearing, let him run it. Well, that's the chairman of that committee. Run it any way he wants. But if I were you, I would call Bill Martin, and I would put it on the calendar so that everybody would know it. And I would invite him over, and I would talk to him 15, 20 minutes. And then he says, he won't talk to him. And when he leaves, he'll have no comments to make. But everybody in Europe will read that the President of the United States called the chairman of the board of directors over and had a problem.
That'll be done, period. That'll be done. I've got to talk to him about who to appoint anyway. I think I've got away from your man up at Harvard after I made everybody mad in the government.
Well,
Schlesinger's resigned and he's mad. Teddy Kennedy has never spoken to me since. And Seymour Harris has written me a long letter saying he had a firm commitment. But I'm seriously thinking about reappointing that old boy that's on there.
Well,
he apparently gets along with him all right.
He gets along with him all right. If I were you, I'd take a fellow like Fred Denny. That's because...
Fred who?
Fred Denny.
Is he that man of Minneapolis, man?
He's that fellow from Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Enjoys a hell of a good reputation. Now, I am told, and I don't know this, I am told that... Hubert Humphrey thinks well of it.
Well,
don't know that.
I don't know either.
Hubert has not talked to me about it. I've talked to Hubert about it. I don't talk to anybody about it. Just you. But,
there's a lot of folks in town, including Hubert and Patman, that think that Martin is doesn't handle things right. He lets the bankers increase their interest rates, and he's really going to wreck my sale of securities if he keeps on doing it. And they think that long-term interest rates are going up and that they oughtn't to and they don't need to, and he oughtn't to let it happen.
Well, now, Mr. President, let me tell you, I'm preparing this book for you. I told you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Bill Martin cannot set the interest rates in this country. It's a fallacy to think he can. He can influence them, but his answer...
Well, I know it. That's what they say. They say he can influence them, and he ain't doing it.
And he's not going to let these things go up more than they have to. Time may come, and money demands get high, and if money demands get high with business, and if business is bad, you get unemployment, hell, interest rates are low.
Well, I've got 5% unemployment.
But if business is good, and investment is the kind that you're going to want it to keep all these people employed, then interest rates go up, and you may be troubled with this very 4.25% ceiling. I was troubled with that. But if you do ever get that trouble, I've got a way to do it so that you're not doing something that was exactly what I proposed for you, because I think that'd be a mistake.
Well, you get me your book, and I'm going to think a long time, but I'll get him over here, and I'll talk to him about the Federal Reserve, and I think I told this group today that I wasn't going to appoint Harris, and they all applauded.
Well, let me tell you the one thing just so it'll comfort you. Harris went in to see Dr. Cusey. Harris told Dr. Cusey that he was not going to be appointed. Harry said, I am sorry because I would like to have been down there, but he said, I hold absolutely no feelings against President Johnson.
That's
what he
good.
Told the President of Harvard
that's
University.
Good. That's good. Okay.
Now, oh. The last subject, then I'll hang up. I've got two or three things in mind of ways to that I think would be exceedingly helpful to you. It's not too early to start, but they're the kind of thing that I need to talk personally about.
All right.
So sometime,
any day you're here, you just come here. Any day you can come in, any time you're here.
Well, but sometime when you let some of your people know when you're going to have a little while of the evening where you're relaxed.
Huh? I can do it any evening, Nellie, except this evening. You just tell us.
Can I make a date with one of your secretaries next week?
Yeah.
Who do I call?
Oh, I guess best in Jack Valenti or Bill Moyers. Bill Moyers.
I'll call Bill to make the note, and I'll come down and tell you what I got on my mind.
Okay.
Okay, fine.